Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Good morning and welcome to Mindshifter Radio. And we already have several people in the chat room and on the phone just listening and waiting. And we are on Wednesday, middle of the week. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And no one has a question yet, Michael, but we do have a topic left hanging from yesterday. So we'll get that in a minute, but welcome.
Let's put out the phone number for people to call who might have a question, and then let them know once you call in. If you have a question, if you just hit one, that'll let Jeannie know, and she'll put you in the queue. And the number is 646-200-4169. We're doing day 10 of the celebration of Memorial Day, and we're inviting everyone in our audience to really, truly honor those who have been forced to kill, who have been killed, or who have been injured, maimed in war, and the families who suffered as a result of that. And so our invitation to you to really truly honor those folks and everything that's been given is that you look at one issue today in your life that you're willing to face and move through. One situation, one hostility, one fear, one grief, one pain that you're willing to remove from your physiology. If you're not sure how to do that, then we invite you to jump on our website, www.whyagain.com, www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, there's a link that says Download Worksheets. If you would, key into that link. When you click on it, the first two items, there are a whole series of different worksheets, but the first two, the key ones we're going to invite you to start using first, are the new chapter 24 from my book. It's New Discoveries in Ancient Aramaic Forgiveness. That's the first link. And the second link is a set of, a copy of the worksheet from the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. So we ask you to download those two. That'll teach you how the Aramaic internal process of forgiveness works and put you on the path to healing. So that'll be our starting point. And so, Jeannie, you have a question that was left over from yesterday that we're ready to get into.
Yes. It was pertaining to issues of feeling like someone outside of them was directing anger or rudeness or whatever, and that it was unwarranted. And so what they were feeling, their pain, was actually had to do with some insanity that was going on outside of them that was being directed toward them. So that would be a good starting place on that one. And then there's a little more to it, but we'll get that first.
Okay, let's start with that one. Well, the biggest fraud on planet Earth with so-called humans, which are actually not humans if they're not functioning out of love, the biggest fraud is to pretend that something outside of me can cause something to happen inside of me. And our minds, when we don't want to deal with what's inside of us, when we live in a state of denial, which is a state, you know, I've actually considered we should suggest to Congress they create a 51st state that's called denial and a 52nd state called confusion, because that's where most people live as a result of their denial. But the minute I say, I'm not responsible for what's going on inside of me, I hide something from myself, and that is the root of my pain. When I hide the root of my pain from me, I can't see it. But guess what? The minute I go into denial, that which I've hidden from myself, I'm now wearing on my sleeve, literally, energetically. I'm putting that which I deny into a place in me where it is amplified. And I send out an energetic signature, an energetic signal that invites somebody to come and do it to me again. And believe me, if you're there to be a victim, if you hold that pain that you refuse to be responsible for and you refuse to resolve, somebody will come along and victimize you. Absolutely, positively guaranteed. Somebody's going to show up. You're going to get cooperation for what you're asking for. Well, what do you mean? I'm not asking for that. Well, if you put it inside your field, you're asking for it. You just set up a vibration that's going to draw it. So, we're not saying that you lay down and take everything that everybody wants to dish out. We're not saying that you don't hold people accountable for their behavior. What we are saying is you're responsible for what's happening inside of you. And when you take responsibility, what will happen is you'll start to see the parts of you that set these things up again and again and again. And as you forgive, in the Aramaic language, forgiveness means how I remove something from inside of me. Once I remove that pain, the same person can come up and unjustifiably accuse me, rage at me, do whatever they want, and I'll look at them and go, wow, it looks like you really have some pain. Can I support you? Rather than their pain resonating my pain, I pretend I'm not involved, I deny, and therefore cut myself out of the loop. You'll notice if you've been through a particular painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. Your pain is about you. It belongs to you. So when you go in and collapse the projection that it's all about somebody else, and you do that through responsibility and forgiveness, you'll be rid of your pain. And then whether somebody comes up and plays that out with you or not, you'll look at them and there'll be no response from you. The response, the reaction, is an action done on a previous occasion, denied and hidden, and therefore seemingly we become innocent victims. My offering is there are no innocent victims, there are only volunteers. And the way you volunteer is to deny ownership for what's going on inside of you. The way we absolutely know that it's yours is you're feeling it, and that's the test. How can you tell whether or not something you're feeling is yours or not? Are you feeling it? If you are, then it belongs to you. And what happens is that we live in a culture that's primarily based in hostility and fear. And, you know, the culture really loves for us to be stupid. The culture really loves for us to be controllable, reactive. You know, they just bait you, and all of a sudden you're in your hostility or fear, which means reduced intelligence. You know, we talked yesterday about the horse, and the way that we keep a horse on track, if we want him to plow straight ahead, is we put a set of blinders on him. If that horse is going down the track and he doesn't have the blinders on and he sees the filly over there, you're going to have a tough time stopping him from turning and going the other way and cutting across your rows. So you reduce his choices by putting blinders on. Our culture specializes in putting blinders on us. The left blinder on the human being is hostility. The right blinder on the human being is fear. Now that hostility and fear are in place in our minds, our field of vision, like the horse, is reduced to about 40, maybe 50%. I'd offer we're designed to see from 360-degree vision and have all the choices available in 360 degrees. Now, the horse, you want to control the horse, so you put blinders on. You don't want him to have 360-degree vision. You don't want him to have the choice to go visit that filly over there. You want him to pull your plow straight ahead. So you put blinders so he can only see there. You reduce his choices and, in effect, his intelligence when you put blinders on him. We as humans are designed to live in 360-degree vision. I offer if you have hostility or fear in you, your choices are reduced. Your intelligence is reduced, and you're the only one who can take the blinders off. Forgiveness is how you do it. Does that get any response in the chat room, Jeannie, or phone calls?
Yes, actually, someone said, thank you, that was perfectly worded, and amazingly, they can see the possibility of not reacting at all. And
amen.
That is, yeah, and that is a really good marker when you're in a situation and something happens that before you would have had a reaction out of either hostility or fear, and you just kind of are an observer of it or maybe don't even notice it. And then when it does come to your attention, that it's like, oh, hey, I must have worked through that one. That was cool. So there are still no questions out there. We can go a little further in something that was left over from yesterday if you want to, unless you've got something further to add to that
one. Let's do it, please. Let's do it.
Okay. One of the things that we were also talking about yesterday, and this was in a private chat, was about our responsibility communication and how we can say something and mean one thing, but the person hears it as something totally different. And depending on how they hear it, that they're – I'm getting an echo back here. They will either go into a defense mode or something. So it's real important how we communicate.
So is there a specific question attached to that, sweetie?
No, I just thought you might want to further explain responsibility communication and how a person, when they go into the defense mode, they might, you know, they don't hear anything else that you have to say because they're working on what they're going to say next. Or...
Well, there's an interesting piece of Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, maximum amount of information that goes into conscious awareness is 9 bits. So 10,000 brain cells fire, we have in effect a 9-bit mind, and according, I haven't looked at it yet, but according to some of the research that Jeannie came up with a few weeks ago for one of her psychology papers, that estimate of 9 bits of information has been reduced to a maximum of perhaps 3 or 4 bits of data. And when you recognize that you've got this 9-bit mind or 4-bit mind, once it's full, once the data is in that data, once that data is in awareness, there's no room for anything else. So once you've got somebody that's filled with their hostility, fear, their rage, their grief, their pain, the chances of them hearing anything else you have to say are slim to none. The chances of you hearing anything else someone else has to say are slim to none, because you've already made up your mind. You're already established. However, if your reality is established through hostility or fear, you now have reduced vision, you have reduced choices, and you're relatively ineffective. It's always best when there's hostility or fear to take the blinders off. And the worksheet process in Why Is This Happening to Me Again, once again, is how to take the blinders off. How to remove the hostility and fear so you have full roundabout vision. And if our generational patterns are to respond with hostility and fear, then we ultimately have to start changing our genetics. We have to start changing the genetic inclination to just keep on the same old track. Live in a culture that teaches projection communication. You made me angry, you made me sad, you made me afraid. Excuse me. Nobody outside of you can make you any of those things. But once those things are inside of you, anybody will do. Anybody that can resonate them, anybody that can trigger them in you, is in control of your life. And so what we're looking to do is to support people getting to the state where they're back in charge of their own lives. And if you look back in the ancient Aramaic language 2,000 years ago, there was this genius who said the first law was that of love. In essence, what he was saying is the first law is
you want to make sure you've got 360-degree vision, that you've got no blinders on. The word he used in Aramaic was the word rachma in that case, and that word literally represents a condition in the mind that's key to love. It's not about, you know, love God, love neighbor, love self. It isn't about what you do to your neighbor. It's not about what you do toward God. It's not about what you do toward yourself. It's about the condition of your perception that needs to be connected to love. It needs to be plugged into 360-degree vision rather than limited to, you know, 40 to 50 degrees. So that's where we want to head, is into 360-degree vision, 24/7, 365. Now, who can do that for you? There is only one, and you're it. Nobody else can give it to you. Nobody else can take it away from you. However, your culture will do everything it can to rob you of 360-degree vision. Your culture will do everything that it can to keep you in the hospital of your fear. There are forces in the world that are about doing that. And I think it's because they love to control others. And if somebody's only got 40 to 50 degree vision, they're pretty controllable. They're not very smart. And if you question, you know, my thinking on that, I have an exercise for you to do. I invite you to take a piece of paper and draw a margin about a quarter of an inch down one side of the page, and then turn on your television set. I want you to spend no more than a minute on any station and just flip from channel to channel to channel to channel to channel for an hour. Every time you hear a word that's truly based in love, and when I say truly based in love, our definition of that is hold a newborn and get a sense of the energy. That's love. That's human life. That's what we're designed for. So on that page that you have in front of you, every time you hear a word come out of that squawk box, which has raised most of the younger generation today. Actually, a lot of people in the older generation were raised on it too. But every time you hear a word that's truly based in being, love, put a check mark on the page. And every time you hear a word that's based in hostility or fear, put a check mark on the other side of that line. You know why you're only going to need a quarter inch margin? You're not going to fill it up. And you filled up a dozen pages with check marks based in hostility and fear. And that's structuring in the program in more culture. And I'd offer that it's primarily with words. It's done with words. Just listen to the words that come out of that squawk box. Listen to the words that come out of the authorities around you. And what you'll find is it's primarily based in hostility and fear, war and conflict, non-responsibility and blame. And what that does is it creates conditions in the mind and chemistry in the body. If you go back to the man who understood how that worked, Yeshua, 2,000 years ago, he said the power of life is in words. Do you think the power of life is in the words based in hostility and fear? Sounds a little ridiculous to me. Do you think the power of death is in words based in love? No. The power of life comes from words keyed to your true being, love, and the things that support that being. If you go back and mention this the other day, the words in Aramaic, the kingdom of heaven, isn't about someplace off in the sky. It means the community of love. Do you live within a community of people who speak words based in love? We have a young man started doing this work back a few months ago and committed to 5 worksheets a day for 40 days, and he's on the trading floor, and he's getting his the folks he's working with on the trading floor on Wall Street to start the day off with forgiveness work. And they're working toward creating an environment, a community of love. How do you like that? Wall Street, the kingdom of heaven on earth. We're capable of moving out of, if we're willing to forgive, all the words, all the genetics, all the hostility and fear that's been programmed into us. And we're capable of moving into a literal state where our words are based in love, our words are based in support. The first words out of our mouth in the morning are about the active presence of love in our lives. The last thought at night is the appreciation for, oh, what an awesome opportunity to get to live as a human being. Now, if that sounds foreign to you, well, welcome to the club. You got some work to do. Here we are. Jeannie, you got a caller for us?
Area code 619, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Oh, good morning. This is Bev Paul.
Hi, Bev. How are you this morning?
I'm really good. How are you?
Awesome. Where are you calling from?
San Diego.
San Diego, California.
Yes.
Maybe you want to turn the sound down in the background and we won't get that echo. You can mute your computer. Or...
No, I have everything turned off.
Oh, okay.
I had you on the speakerphone, but I took you off the speakerphone.
That was it. Okay, so how can we support you this morning, Bev?
Well, the help that I need is how I can be confident about the future and not be filled with fear, because I had cancer last year and nobody expects to get it, but I really never expected to get it. And so I've had a year recovery, and I'm just really afraid, not just of disease, but because it was so shocking to my system energetically.
Right.
I'm so afraid of what could happen next.
If you go back, Bev, is there something in the way of a major life event that happened that was a shock to your system?
Yes.
In the last 6 years?
Yes.
Okay. So that was probably the root of your cancer. That funneled back into oftentimes childhood issues that are just played out again and again and again until the trauma becomes so great that the cellular structure is traumatized and starts to shift its function. And so on this level, to begin to look at why there is fear within your bloodline, within your physiology, and to dig out the reality management worksheet from the website,
mm-hmm.
and to start to do worksheets around that fear. So, you know, the kinds of things you could do worksheets around, where number 1A in the worksheet might be just the word cancer, that you do worksheets on cancer. And I'm terrified. I'm going to get it again. How do I feel about that? I'm helpless. What's my thought? Well, I'm a victim of cancer. What's my goal? I want to stay healthy. And then, strangely enough, when you cancel the goal to stay healthy, which sounds totally backward, what happens is you get to look in the file in your mind on health, and you start to touch into what's there, which clearly from your words is probably based in fear. And so instead of hiding from the fear, what you want to do, and the forgiveness process is how you expose your fear, and you expose it with the presence of love, the practice of bringing love present in your physiology. And what will happen is you'll begin to dissolve that fear. I would suggest that you do worksheets around, you can use number 1A, you can do worksheets on fear. Fear, well, life is scary, it's going to get me. What's my feeling? Terror, what's my thought? Life is going to get me. What do I want? I want life to support me. Okay, now I cancel my need for life to support me. And when I cancel that, again, that sounds totally backward, but this is the key to forgiveness. I now open my file. By canceling that goal, I now open my file on support. And I get to see that maybe the underlying reality that goes back to being 3 years old, or maybe goes back to 4 years ago, whenever that traumatic event happened, and I get to see that I made up a story about how I don't deserve support. And so if I believe I don't deserve support, then when support shows up, I'll find a way to push it away. And so this is how the forgiveness process allows you to delve deeper and deeper. What happens when we deny ownership of something in our lives, whether it's an event when we were 3 or 33, doesn't matter, when we deny ownership of it, we hide it from ourselves. And so the idea of the forgiveness process and canceling the goals around any given issue, the word in Aramaic for forgive is shebag. It means to cancel. When you cancel the goal, what happens is you get to look directly at what you've been hiding from yourself. So what you'll find is each worksheet that you do, you find out something new about yourself. You find out something new. You find out something new until you come across, oh, my goodness, there it is. There's the core of what I'm doing to myself. So, and that's how you take responsibility and start to move through those dynamics and arrive in a different place in your world and in your life.
Well, thank you, Michael. I actually experienced that this morning. I did a worksheet. I love your online worksheets. They're
awesome.
Wonderful. and I've been doing them for a long time. And so I did one this morning on fear, and it was just really wonderful. And I went from being really terrified to understanding why I'm so scared, and just making a commitment to myself that I'm going to do worksheets every day.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing what you got in touch with in doing that worksheet? What did you uncover in step six?
What I uncovered was that instead of forcing myself to be, this morning it was about money and responsibility, and that I'm still in a different level of healing, and I'm trying to force myself not to do that, but to do the responsible thing and go work and get money, and I can't do that right now because I'm still healing emotionally.
Yeah.
And I've just been really suppressing that.
Yeah. So I invite you to breathe right now and be in touch with that grief that's underlying that. And it sounds like grief around the fact that you felt forced to ignore yourself for money.
Right.
Well, and probably the biggest piece in the puzzle of healing in our culture is that we have to take the time, we have to rest, we have to pay attention to ourselves, we have to become attuned to our own inner nature and really allow the space to heal. So I acknowledge you for being willing to get in touch with that, and I support that grief about not having done it, softening and letting go. And, of course, as you do this now, you're not going to have to get yourself into a deeper crisis.
Yep. Thank you so much. I really, really love your work.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing the online worksheet. Keep us posted on how the progress goes.
Thanks, and please
keep them
online.
You sound like you might be ready for an intensive. You might want to look at the summer intensive schedule this year and do a major chunk of work over a 9 or 17-day period. Might be something to consider.
That would be awesome. I would love to do that.
All right, and we have work support programs, work exchange programs, and also. Anyway, I'll leave that with you. And,
thank you.
Yes, it's you know, we, of course, you know, when we travel, our travel workshops are done free because we're committed to putting the tools into people's hands. And, of course, we do have bills to pay. And so with Heartland, we do have a fee structure, but we're also wide open to doing work exchange programs so that people without the resources can do it, or a partial work, partial payment, or, you know. So that's always an option. The work is always available. That's our commitment, to make it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bless you.
You too.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. All right.
So, Jeannie, any other conversation going on in the chat room or any other calls?
There is no other conversation or questions right at this moment. One of the other things that I had offered to the person yesterday in our private chat, and it also kind of fit with the gentleman that called in yesterday, was backing into a worksheet. Like,
right.
If you can't identify exactly what's going on, what the issue is, and what I told them was, then start with, you know that you're either, what are you feeling? It's either fear or anger. And so start with that and fill that in on the worksheet, and then pick a situation, because like if it's fear, there's probably been several situations where you have felt fear. And so kind of back into it then and just pick one of those situations, fill it in, describe what happened. So you've already put in that fear is the issue, then what's the feeling or the thought behind that feeling, and then kind of work at it from there. So there's several ways that you can use that worksheet to come up with the same result. And so if you're feeling stuck, like, well, I don't know what's going on or what's triggered this, I just know I'm feeling something right now. It's just very intense. And what I also suggested to them is that if what they're feeling is anger, that they might want to ask themselves, then what is the fear? Because that's always underlying the anger.
Cool. Well, genius input, genius advice. I love the way you made that term up of backing into a worksheet. It's not something I'd ever thought of before, so it's a cool piece. To invite people to back into it. And, you know, as you've said before, when you've done that, oftentimes you'll be doing maybe step three, and all of a sudden you get your insight that belongs in step six, so fill it in down there. And by the way, when you're doing the worksheets, you know, The worksheets are so simple. However, around some of the questions in it, we may have a lot of complexity in our minds. So there are many tools besides forgiveness itself tied into that worksheet. And so I invite you, if there's a step that you go, oh, I don't understand this, I don't know what to do, skip over it and just do the other steps. And what will happen is the doors will open for deeper and deeper understanding. And also that new chapter 24 in the book on why is this happening to me again. And, of course, we love it when somebody calls in and has a question. And the more difficult the question, the more I like it. Because the more difficult the question, the more I get to learn. You know, one of the awesome things about teaching this all over the globe as we do is we get to play and interact with thousands of different people, different cultures, with all kinds of different questions. And what I've discovered is, for me anyway, is that the important thing is not the answers. The important thing is the questions. And so I get to interact with everybody's questions, and all I have to do is get me out of the way. There's a power in each of us that has all the answers. It's all energy. It's all vibration. When the vibration of the right question shows up, if you can get yourself out of the way, and I think it was Emerson that said we had to get our bloated nothingness out of the way. If we can get our bloated nothingness out of the way, there's a power in us that has the answer. Pop, there it will be right in front of you. So I get to participate with millions of years of refined questioning ability as I get to interact with people from all over the globe who've been questioning. And so I invite you to allow yourself to be in the question. And as you let yourself get out of the way, the answer shows up. And or if it's not showing up for you, please, 646-200. 646-200-4169 is our number. When you call it, press 1. And as you press 1, that will put you in a queue, or Jeannie will put you in a queue. So Dr. Tim and David are with us today. Is Terry here? No, Terry didn't make it. Well, how are David and Dr. Tim today?
Go ahead, David.
Did I catch you guys off guard?
No, I'm here. Did you get me?
How do you be today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm, as you often say, favored and highly blessed. Had a very productive morning. And a wonderful group last night with watching the first half of Codependence to Interdependence. And I was thrilled with the calls yesterday and the insight I got from listening. So thank you to everyone who called yesterday and our friend who just called today. It's fabulous to get to support people doing this work and to listen in, to hear the things I may be missing or not doing as focused as I could be doing them. So.
And that I love the, and for anybody who hasn't done the codependence work, you know, you can go to our website and order the DVD. And also we covered a lot of it, although the visual isn't there and there's some material you can't cover very well without the visual that is on the DVD that can be ordered from our website. But you can also go back in the archives, and I guess it's going back about 3.5 weeks or so now. The first ones would be marked codependence. And there's a whole series we did on codependence to interdependence, and it's awesome stuff. It's one of the latest workshops I've created, and every time I get to teach that workshop, it boggles my mind on a whole other level. And then the gift that I got from the questions people were asking through the codependence series we did over a couple of weeks, and I'd never done this before, but I went out and separated out all of the interdependent steps, because the title of the workshop is Codependence to Interdependence. And so we now have the 12 steps of interdependence, and those archives are on the radio show back about, that's probably about 10 days or so ago now. You'll see the 12 steps to interdependence. We did that over a period of a couple of days. You can tap into that and give a listen. Dana, are you with us?
I am. It just takes me a moment. My phone
sure.
Buttons don't always click off the unmute and take it off the speaker quick enough for me. And so it, yes, I am here.
Awesome. So how is your day going today so far?
A lot of opportunities to heal, writing some letters and making some connections and getting some things handled, and a little stress is up, and when the little stress gets up with them, my programs kick in and gives me the opportunity in order to make the shift. So, you know, I'm listening to the caller, and it is wonderful to hear, for me to hear people that have gone online and that they have done the work. When the lady called in, and I got it intuitively that she's doing her work, and it's so supportive of when people ask the questions and then they welcome the feedback and they put it into the practice. You know, you've been around me for a while now, and you know my whole thing is about putting things into action with it that. And so it's just good to hear that. It's always supportive of me because I know doing this on my own, I'd never do it. I know I would never do it. I like to lie and say, I'm going to do it, and I know that's always my carbon-based membrane just coming up with another reason and excuse, and it's not the truth. It's not going to happen. So that's where I'm at today. So I've got...
Cool.
Few opportunities and challenges, which is all part of it. Beg your pardon?
I say, so life is still giving you opportunities to learn forgiveness, David. I thought you'd be finished by now.
Oh, well, you know, the wonderful part about all of it is that it's never going to, you know, it's kind of like that saying, Michael, you know, I know I'm finished and don't have any problems when I'm in the ground and cancel that. The truth of it is, you know, cancel that. And so that's just what it is. You know, the whole idea about looking for the solutions and solving problems and that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, someone said the solution to one problem creates another problem. And I think really what, in the way that I interpret that is that, as soon as I learn something, well, then I'm ready to learn something else. Once I learned how to ride the bicycle, I didn't want to never ride a bicycle again. I was looking for something else to learn about as well. I still ride the bicycle. And, okay, there's no end to it. If there's an end to it, then what's the fun in that?
Each solution then creates another opportunity to learn something new.
Correct. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
And mind, and the carbon-based memory, you know, the mind wants to look at it as, there's this drama and trauma, and the more drama and trauma, the anger, hostility that I want to put on it, just keeps me restricted even more.
Right. And if our carbon-based memory, and for those who are maybe new to the show, are not familiar with that term carbon-based memory, what we're talking about is the fact that this body-mind unit is a device that is essentially made of carbon, and it stores every frequency that comes to it and generationally passes those frequencies down from one generation to another. You know, when they start looking at the genetics and DNA, they're saying, this is the code of life. It's not the code of life. What it is it's the code for the container of life, and the container of life is this carbon-based memory system. And if there's rage, if there's fear, if there's grief, if there's hatred, if there's vengeance, if there's pain, if there's jealousy in your generations, then what will happen is this servant body-mind unit, carbon-based memory container will rear up its head and say, and here's what we have to do about it. But that's not life. That's non-life. That's a container with its pre-programmed information telling us what we should be doing. And it literally comes right out of the DNA. Fortunately, life, you and I, if we wake up from the DNA container and all of its structured programming, we can begin to disable and dismantle that programming and restructure it so that it simply uplifts us. It gives us a place to inhabit and express and a way to bring into the world our creative process. So we're here to support you in bringing your creative process into the world. And what we know is if there's something that you want to be about creating in your world, and there's something in you that goes against it in your DNA container, then in order to be able to follow through and bring that something new in, you're going to have to remove what's in the container that doesn't belong. Forgiveness is how you do that. People who don't have forgiveness accumulate instruction set after instruction set, fear after fear, hostility after hostility, grief after grief, pain after pain, trauma after trauma. And if we let the container advise us as to what we should be doing, then in the ancient teachings they would have said, you are now the master bound by the servants in your own household. Your temple, your household, is simply a container. It's meant to follow your instructions. If there is an instruction set you wish to give it, and there's a conflicting, highly charged, emotionalized instruction set that goes against the way you choose to function, then your work is going to be to weaken, and remove, that is, forgive, that instruction set that goes against your choices. So that no longer does the container run your life. You run the container. You run your carbon-based memory system and tell it what you want, and it simply is your servant to do what you choose for it to do. Gene, does that leave us with any questions on the phone or anything in the chat room?
There's no questions right now, but a couple of things. When you were talking about, you know, different things that you could do with the worksheet, there is a link on our website. If you go to whyagain.com, and it's listed as support groups. If you click on that link, it's actually a page that was set up to help guide facilitators in running or guiding a support group. But it also has information that's good for any individual, whether you're part of a group or not. And there's things like getting past stuck points and frequently asked questions and letters that have been written to support groups and from support groups. So there's some information that can help people get, you know, past maybe some difficult areas when they're working with the worksheet. And then the other thing is you were talking about the codependence to interdependence, and you can go to our archives of this show under whyagain.com. There's a Mind Shifter link right at the top, and go to the archives. And that actually started on April 27th and went through May the 13th. So those are the dates if you want to go back and pick up the codependence to interdependence information. And for those, we've got probably 12 guests in the room who can't write in the chat room. So if you have a question, please call in, and it's 646-200-4169. Press 1, it'll put you in queue. Or you can email me at Jeannie, that's J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.com. And write your question there, and if it doesn't come through in time for us to address it today, we'll do it tomorrow.
Cool. And also, Jimmy, where is the link for people to go to the worksheet itself online, so that people can do worksheets online?
It's under the same thing. If you go to download worksheets, the first thing that's on there is the new chapter 24, which is instructions for the worksheet. And there's all of the different. There's several reality management worksheets. There's the 7-step that we usually use. There's a 12-step, a long form, short form. And then under that is the worksheets online and also the game. It's not totally developed yet, but we do have a game out there called the Drag On Game. And it's where we drag on all of our stuff and the Klingons. And so it's kind of a game for kids to play that'll maybe get them excited about doing the worksheet. So that's out there as well. It's all on that same page.
Cool, and I think I heard David's sweet voice in there had a thought.
Yeah, I was telling you about a documentary that I watched last night. It's called We Live in Public, And it's a very, very powerful documentary that really talks about where we're going to as a society based on what it is that you're talking about the unconscious and living in it. And this is was done by a Josh Harris, who was a pioneer in the internet, in the developing of the internet. One of the most powerful documentaries I've ever seen about the internet and where we're going with this, with the communication and the connections with people. And so I invite people to go take a look at that because of the fact that what he is talking about, you know, this is a lot of talk about Big Brother and how people connect and so forth and what's going on. Then this whole connection that we make with ourselves and we make with other people, like what we're doing with this radio show and with having support groups out there. And we invite people to start creating and doing their own live personal workshops like what Dr. Tim is doing in the support groups, so that you have an experience of that, you have that genuine experience that you're able to tap into your intuitive self and that you have that experience of doing it. Because really what we're doing here is creating space for people to do the work themselves so that they will have a realization around how this works. Because we can talk about it for a long, long time, and unless something is put into action, then it's still just going to be another opinion, another point of view of looking at it versus having their own. So I encourage people to do the worksheets. And as the lady talked about this morning, she did a worksheet this morning. It's great. It was online. And then she called in. And I'll bet if she were to come back on the line now and talk about just by her making the phone call in, she elevated her understanding of the work, I would say considerably, just based on that participation with it. So we invite you to ask some questions, participate, and then get some feedback on it. And I'm open for some
absolutely
feedback from me.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the other things that you triggered, David, a thought for me was the invitation to people to not believe a word I've got to say. Don't believe anything I'm telling you. Take the tool and put it to work and get your own experience. You know, experience is a good teacher, especially if it's your experience. And so take the tool, put it to work, and watch what happens. And you'll find that the explanations will start to fit, and you'll develop your own explanations and understandings, and it will become more and more functional. One of the other things that you can do to support yourself is you can tap in. There's a link for the Building Your Brain Cells, the Building the Brain Cells game, which is something David created to support people making a commitment. And then you can join the Building the Brain Cells game at a 10-day level, doing one worksheet a day, a 40-day level, doing five worksheets a day, reading 5 minutes in the book, 15 minutes in the book every day, and creating a commitment and a way to be accountable for the fact that you follow through with your commitment. So there's a PowerPoint that David created about building the brain cells that you might want to tap into and put it to effective use in your world. Jump on the website.
Well,
you can do worksheets online. And when you do the worksheets online, the server does not save them. You have to save them for yourself. We're not going to get involved in your worksheets. So if you do a worksheet online, then do a save as and save it on your computer so you have a record of it. And what I find is when people do worksheets, if they'll go back repeatedly over the years, that each worksheet will have another piece of gold for them. David, excuse me, you started to say something?
Yeah, I was just along that line of what you talk about, you know, the African proverb, if you want to go quick, you go alone. If you want to go far, together. And, you know, there's the validity in that is so true. The real challenge, I think, or maybe the thing that doesn't really get expressed, if you go alone, you don't go far at all. You've already gone, you know, we've already gone, in essence, as far as we can by ourselves. This is my projection of that. I already know And the only way for me to learn anything else is really is to have some support of other people showing me. It's when I get caught up in this thing that I already know it, and that's my carbon-based memory, my ego self, that, oh, I already know that. Anytime that I recognize in the, and when other, when I'm talking with other folks, if I make the statement, I know that already, I'd like people to point it out to me, then there isn't any reason for me to be talking about it. I never really talk about what it is that I know. I can talk about my experiences of that. If when I say, it's kind of like when you make the statement and people say, well, I've forgiven my parents, I've forgiven my children, I've forgiven my spouse, I've forgiven all these people, that you really understand that they haven't done any forgiveness work, that they haven't done true forgiveness, that internal forgiveness work. And it is, I use the statement, oh, I know that, or maybe I know that, and someone usually makes that to me, I'm really aware that that's just my carbon basement, and it's just a program that's coming out there that wants to say that, and I really don't know it. If I knew it, I wouldn't need to be talking about it. I wouldn't really necessarily need to be looking for an answer to it. I very rarely ever ask, there was one teacher that said, Anytime we ask a question, we already know the answer to that because we're setting it up in the mind as a way of we want the answer. I want the answer that my mind is showing me. It's when I let go of knowing something already. Well, it was said that Einstein said the more that he knew, the more that he knew he didn't know anything. And that made him a genius. He does, you know, there's so much, as you said at the beginning of the show, you know, this 20 trillion bit universe out here. And I've got this, now I'm hearing this 3 and 4 bits, which really makes it even more interesting, that I have no idea what's going on. No idea. I have no idea what's going on. Anyway.
And one of the keys in this, you know, this whole questioning thing is that if there's something you want to know about, go and ask somebody who's experiencing the experience you want to have, having the conversation you want to be able to have. Don't ask somebody who's not having that experience. So there are all kinds of pseudo and false authorities set up in the world. People will hang out their shingle and say, well, I can tell you about this, but they don't have an experience of what it is they're talking about. Sadly, that's what's happened a lot in churchianity. People who didn't have an experience of what the man named Yeshua said, and in essence what he said was, you want to get to the point where you can hold a condition in your mind called love when you think of the Creator, when you think of neighbor, which in Aramaic means anybody you think about, and when you think of self. Now, the opinion of 100 million people who haven't had that experience about how to have that experience is meaningless. You want to go to somebody who's got that experience in order to have that experience. You can go to every authority going. You can go to the people who made up all the dogmas and the doctrines. You know, I remember one day I went to a church. Somebody was telling me about this priest who was supposed to be pretty awesome and had all this knowledge, and he had all this ritual and all these robes. And it was in a church where the priests were encouraged to be married. And I watched as he talked about this, and it's like, really cool conversation. But then when his 4-year-old son, during the service, came up to the altar and did something to him, as this man turned in rage at his 4-year-old, I said, this is not the kind of person I want to learn from. This is not where I'm going to get the answer. This person doesn't have the experience of the teaching of the man named Yeshua. Why would I ask him? Yeshua said, there's a protocol for understanding the whole process. And the protocol is, what he says is, you must have love when you think of the Creator, when you think of neighbor, when you think of self. And then he says, for upon this hangs the law and all its prophets. Now, if you want to get somebody who can tell you about the law and the prophets, you find somebody who's met the protocol. Love for the Creator, neighbor, and self. Don't go to somebody who's in rage and fear all the time. Don't go to somebody who's preaching fear of God and teaching a doctrine based in fear and damnation, because that's not where the love of God is. That is somebody that's been there. Jeannie, you got a question on the line?
Actually, it's an email that was sent to me, and they've got three questions.
Awesome.
I want to start. We've only got 5 minutes, so I'm going to start with the last one because it encompasses a whole lot. So there are two things: projecting our issues onto another person, and other people mirroring our stuff back to us. One we shouldn't do, the projecting, and the other one we should welcome, the one for people mirroring it back to us, and should be thankful for it. How does all this wash out? I don't have the whole of the two ideas gelled together in my awareness.
My input would be is, first of all, you might not want to shoot on yourself because that can lead to problems. And ideally, yes, that would be the ideal. And when we talk about I project my issues onto another, if I live in denial, I create a dissociated mind. Out of a dissociated mind, I set up a field that attracts somebody to do a behavior that will resonate the content of my dissociated mind. Now, there we're talking about a pure, simple physics dynamic. You got no choice about it. If it's in there, somebody's going to bounce off of it. The law of resonance guarantees it. When they do, because I'm dissociated from that information, what I will literally do is use that dissociated information to build my brain's image of them. That's called projection. Now, the culture teaches that projection is putting something outside of you that is inside of you. I offer that's not projection. That's the act of externalization. Projection is taking something that's inside of you and making images of other people out of it, or images of yourself out of it. So if you're in pain or trauma and your mind is showing you a mirror, and this is the mirror effect, your mind is showing you that somebody else is the one with the problem, but you're the one with the pain, you start to go, oh, so now I'm looking at a mirror. My brain is showing me a picture that they're the cause of what's happening inside of me. Now, if I could just figure out a way to collapse this mirror projection, I could go back directly to the hidden part of my mind. Then I would be able to heal that. I'd be able to shift that. And it's the canceling of the goals in the forgiveness process. In the ancient Aramaic language, the word shebag has been translated as forgive, but it actually literally translates to cancel. So when I cancel a goal, I literally shebag that goal, I collapse the projection from my dissociated mind. So I collapse the mirror. Now I've got a clean and open space in my mind to go directly to what I've dissociated from. And when I bring the mind of love to that part of me that holds my pain and trauma begins to dissolve. And that's where we say each worksheet that you do, you'll learn something about yourself. Because when you collapse the projections, you get back in touch with the information you've dissociated from. And most people, you know, most often one of the most common things I hear when people do a worksheet is like, geez, I didn't know I had that in me. I remember working with a physician in Florida a while back. Gene and I did some work with this physician. And this guy was a healer, worked with, a lot of really awesome people doing healing work. Core of his work was forgiveness, but his forgiveness was about letting other people off the hook. And the first worksheet he did from our work and collapsed the projection around an issue he had, it's like, oh, my God. I'm working from rage. I didn't even know that was in me. And that's how you get to that dissociated self and how you get to clean it up. And all it takes is the awesome, simple exposure to love for that stuff to begin to dissolve. So the whole idea of Mind Shifters Radio, and by the way, next week we're going to be starting on Thursday night, next week, later this week, tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday already. Oh, my goodness. We're flying tomorrow morning, and we'll be in Ashland, Oregon. 14 days of workshops. Come and play. This summer at Heartland's 55-day intensive, and we're about supporting you and creating the best year yet of your eternal life. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.